Blog Talk Radio.
You failed!
And it was awesome!
Exceptional!
Outstanding!
Oh, I did better!
From failing, you learn. From success, not so much.
If I gave up every time I failed, I never would have made the meatball cannon.
I never would have made my fireproof pants. Still working out the kinks.
Like my husband always says...
All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Possessions, Resources, and Finances show. This is Adia Sanders, co-host, and we also have our very own Mary, a.k.a. Mama. And tonight we will not have Dr. Dunlap on the show with us. However, we know that he is with us in spirit. And we do have returning guest, Pastor Khalil Carmichael. At this time, I just want to have Aunt Mary just give a shout-out to everybody and just let everybody know how you're doing on this evening.
Yes, good evening, my PRF family. I have missed you. And tonight I'm just looking forward to getting back in the swing of things and hoping that everyone is well. Amen.
All right. Well, you know that this month's show is one that has has significant value, and it's so important because we're talking about receiving your financial healing. And when I think about the word receiving, it is something that is being given to you. And so the only thing that the recipient has to do is to accept it. I don't know too many people who will turn a gift down. They may be surprised. It may be unexpected. But to receive financial healing means that it is being given. And so all we as recipients have to do is accept that gift and walk freely in it. But one thing that, before I go any further, Aunt Mary, do you have anything from last week's show? I know you weren't vocal on last week, but do you have anything that you would like to add before we proceed further in the show on tonight?
Okay, I would just like to add in, I just think about how giving God is and how, you know, I can say, I know we is not a good word to say, but I'm just saying sometimes people, should I say, take what God has given us for granted. And we say some people pray and ask God for things, saying God gives it to them, and it's right in their faces, but because they expect God to come another way, sometimes people miss the gift that God has given them or the gift that God has, is going to give them. For example, if God says, you know, if someone's believing God for a home, you know, I mean, and they want this log cabin home, quote, but God gives them a home that he knows that they can maintain, they accept the home that the Lord has given them, but they complain the whole time because they really wanted the log cabin home in which God knew they wouldn't be able to maintain. So, you know, as we talk about God receiving, we have to receive with gratitude and gratefulness and being thankful to God, because God, everything belongs to him. And so for him to have answered our prayer, God knows what we need. We know what we want. And we are to ask God and seek God for what you want. But God is a God, he doesn't set us up for failure. He gives us what we need. So we need to just be thankful. It's a situation that I'm dealing with now, and the person doesn't have a place to stay, and they're sleeping in their car, and someone did offer them a place to stay. and it's not exactly what they want. And I said, but you got to remember, you had nothing. You didn't know how you're going to make it. So be thankful to God, because it's God that may open up that door for you, and be thankful that you're not out in the street. So, you know, we have to really examine ourselves when God gives us our gifts and make sure that we are thankful and grateful. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Aunt Mary. Just two things that you really say was, you know, receiving with gratitude and being able to receive what God gives us because he knows our need, versus asking God to give us something because of what we want and not understanding the need nor the will of God. And so when you're looking at receiving your financial healing, I think that it's important, you know, that we look at possession, our resources, and our finances, which is the name of the ministry, which is the name of the show, that where we meet at the table every Thursday. And I will tell you, you know, I was, I had a lady that I recently connected with, and she sent me a text on last week, and it says, you know, Jesus used to go off by himself, and that would be his time away from the disciples and the crowd and just everybody. And she told me, she said, you're going to have to find your place where you can just be by yourself. You know, you'll have to get in the boat like Jesus did and just go out on the water. And I don't know, she said, I don't know what your boat is, but once you find it, you will know exactly what you need to do. And there you will find solitude, you'll find peace, you'll find refreshing, reviving. And so I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know what, that also means I need balance. And so I begin to ponder, you know, like, what are some things that I can do and times I can set aside? Well, I got my answer, specific answer, and it was I got in my car to leave work last Friday. That's when she sent the text, and Joel Osteen was on the radio. I'm listening to him, and he was talking about the same exact thing. He was talking about how, you know, how we need to find a place to just where you can get balanced and revived, and doing absolutely nothing, not reading a book, not watching TV, not picking up a tablet or your phone, doing absolutely nothing so that you can hear from God. And I did that on last Friday. I just came home. My family wasn't home yet. And I got my blanket and sat in the chair, and before I knew it, I was asleep. But before that, I was just meditating and just letting my mind kind of just go wherever in just the solitude of being at home. And during that time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, talk about possessions, resources, and finances. And when I woke up, you know, after drifting off to sleep, I texted Nate just out of sheer excitement, because for that 30-minute time of being in my boat, my Jesus boat, out on the water, I was able to hear clearly. And so we're just going to transition. We're still talking about receiving your financial healing. But I want us to understand that in receiving financial healing, that there are a couple of things that we must understand when it comes to our PRF portfolio. So one is understanding that sometimes you just got to get to a place where you are in a place to hear from God on what to do with your finances, of how to receive that financial healing. And so I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. That's just basically going to talk a little bit about our possessions. And it says, the Lord your God will drive those nations out ahead of you, little by little. You will not clear them all at once. Otherwise, the animals will multiply too quickly. And so in this, you know, he's saying that you're going to possess the land, and he's going to do the work. God is going to do the work, but it's going to be little by little. And so I was thinking about possessions. Psalms 37 and 29 says the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The righteous. So the righteous people that are serving God will
inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Then you have Genesis 15, and I don't have all of these, you know, like readily available, so I'm flipping right now. But then you have Genesis chapter 15 in verse 8, where it says, "And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? How will I know that I'm going to possess it?" Well, in order to know how you're going to possess something, you must first know what possess, what it means to possess something, or what possessions is. And it is having, holding, detention of property in one's power or command. Somebody may have possession of an item, whereas somebody versus the right of the possession. So you have people that have things in their possession, but they don't have the right to have it. And you have people who have the right of that possession, but maybe they don't have it. And we see this, you know, in different situations. If, you know, if a loved one passes away and there's no will in place, and so you have somebody that was maybe helping them that has possession of their home or has possession of their furniture or their things that they worked for, their car, jewelry, things like that. And so when you have possession of something, it's having or holding or having detention of property in one's power or command. Then if we look at our resources, you have Proverbs talks about our resources. And you, if you want to write this down, you can go to Proverbs 13 and 22. I'm flipping again, 13 and 22, where it says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." It says a good man, not a great, not an awesome, not a superb, but a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And so we're talking about, our finances. A good man does. A good woman does. And if you turn to Luke chapter 14, and I'm giving these scriptures first because then we can have a discussion about everything else that kind of falls in between. Luke 14 and 28 reads, "For which of you intend to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" And that's asking a question. Do we have enough finances? Do we have it? And when we're looking at our resources, if you write down and take the time to look at Luke 16 and 9, it says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." That's talking about our resources. You know, the things that we have that can help other people. And so I looked up resources. It said it's a source of aid or support, a stock of supply of money or materials or staff and other assets. And I liked what it talked about staff, because we here at PRF are the staff. We are definitely the people that can provide resources to people. And if we don't physically have the resources in our what possession, then we definitely know where people can get those resources from. When we're looking at finances, well, what is finance? It's revenue, income, what one earns, the management of large sums or amounts of money. And sometimes, you know, you have people who have finances, who have resources, and who have possessions, and they're limited or they're very, very low versus somebody who has an abundance of resources and possessions and finances. They can afford to be the lender and not the borrower. But I just think it's important that as we look at financial healing, that we talk about how our possession, resources, and finances tie in together with receiving financial healing. When you know that you have possessions, When you know that you have resources in your finances, and maybe they're limited or maybe you have an abundance, what are you doing with them? Are you allowing those three things in your portfolio to be a blessing to other people? Have you received your financial healing so that when you look at your PRF portfolio, you can kind of understand in my possession, these are things that I have. They are in my power. I am holding them. They are in my house. They are somewhere, you know, maybe, or maybe somebody else is holding on to them for you, and they have possessions, but you have the right to those possessions. But you know that you have them so that if somebody is in need, you can provide them. With your resources or with resources in your community, do you know where to go? Do you know where to send people to get the source of aid or support that is needed, whether it be financial, material, or people or other assets? And so the question, you know, when you think about your healing, do you have a spirit of gratitude when it comes to your possessions, resources, and finances? Have you received your financial healing saying, God, I thank you for what I have because I know that this is not the end? And I was listening to a minister on this morning who was discussing and talking about the importance of understanding where God has you right now. And sometimes it can be discouraging. It can feel it can be very an emotional time. But when you understand where God has you at the time, you can have the spirit of gratitude, like Aunt Mary so eloquently put it. But when you can't receive your financial healing, you look at your PRF portfolio in disdain. You look at your PRF portfolio frustrated or upset or discouraged. But I will tell you, you know, if God has spoken into your life, if he has promised you that where you are right now is not where you're going to end, then walk in that, because that is a part of your financial healing. Could it be that you haven't received your financial healing so that when you look at your PRF portfolio, it's kind of hard to receive what God has said to you? But if you receive the financial healing, I believe in this year, I am more than willing to say and stand on the word of God that everything that God has promised you concerning your possessions, resources, and finances will come to pass. I'm going to just take a break, and I want to turn it over to Aunt Mary at this time to see if there's anything that you would like to elaborate on.
Yeah,
before I do that, Aunt Mary, before we do that, we do have guest speaker Pastor Khalil Carmichael on with us. And
okay.
I kind of just opened up with our with possession, resources, and finances and how that goes along with our financial healing. And just kind of going from there, and we'll also be looking at rejecting, redefining, and release, and healing.
Okay.
Out of on chapter 5. Thank you and so much, Pastor Carmichael, and welcome to the PRF once again.
Well, thank you for having me. I mean, I just dialed in. Sorry, I was running late. I just got in from the city. You know, we're expecting a major snowstorm here in New York and New Jersey. So there's a lot going on and trying to get things prepared for Sunday service. But I heard the show and I was listening. It was like, well, wonderful. Just, you know, the topic and the flow of the show. And so I just feel like, you know, I'm kind of interrupting, because it's just, this sound is so wonderful. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it, dear.
And good evening. This is Mama speaking, Pastor Carmichael. It's so good to hear your voice.
Hello, Mama. How are you?
I am doing so much better, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Thank you. I just want to piggyback off of what Sister Deer was saying about, you know, some people obtain their possessions the right way. I'm just putting my own words, and some obtain them, you know, don't really deserve to own them. Well, it just seemed like I have been receiving calls about husbands, the wives are sick, you know, some are in wheelchairs, the husbands are just walking out on them. Some of them thought the rent was paid, come to find out that they hadn't paid. There were thousands of dollars behind, left them out and whatnot. And as I listen to these women talk and I listen to some of the means, I mean, when your back is up against the wall, that is where the challenge is. That's a challenge between you, Satan, and God. Because when you don't have any food to feed your four children, the landlord giving you, 30 days to get out, you don't have any money because you are sick and in a wheelchair. That's a really testing time. And so, but what I encourage these women to do is don't do illegal things. You know, don't just keep on lying to get what you need because eventually it's going to catch up with you, you know. And I just really, I don't know, it's in my spirit to just throw that out there that if any of you listening and knowing that women are in really a trying time and they're telling you that they may end up having to sell their food stamps or they may have to lie and do whatever they need to do because they don't have a choice. They have a choice, and give them the choice. There's lots of resources out here to help them, you know, but I have to step back and say, if you are still married, you get no help. You know, if you don't have a new address and the address of your husband, you don't get any help. And this is what a lot of the women are dealing with, and the husbands are not letting them know where they are. And still, I've been, my back's been up against the wall too. But the bottom line is we as believers, we cannot do things against the law of the land, because the word tells us to obey the law of the land. When we get our food stamps, we are to do the right thing with the food stamps. After all, God, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. He allows us to have everything we have. You know what I'm saying? So you have food stamps. So with your food stamps, don't sell your food stamps. Tell someone, if you allow me and help me, you can have my food stamps. You know, that's a better way to do it. But I find out that the women, some of them have never encountered anything like this. They never thought that their husband would ever do anything to them. But we as believers, if any of these women come across our path, we have to pray with them. We have to walk with them. We do for them what we can. We find out some resources for them. Help them. Don't just say, well, you know, I'm just going to pray for you. Help them. Don't let them feel like they're all alone, because it seems as though, and I'm just going to say it because this is the way I'm receiving it. When we as believers, and a man, I can talk about the sisters, there is no one, you know, we say in our churches, you know, our sister X, you know, is having a problem, and we're going to pray for her. That's it. But I believe that why can't we take an offering up? Number one, we need to also do an analysis on their finances, too. I mean, we need to do a PRF analysis so that we can help these ladies, those of us who know, you know, on this show, and we've learned some things. We don't know it all, but we've learned some basic things here, and help the ladies, you know, and find out, you know, how much is your rent, you know what I'm saying, and then just find out, you know, how much money is coming in. And I also suggest don't be telling these women to leave their husbands because they're doing all kinds of things. Because one sister was telling me that her husband was giving her a lot of money and they were paying the rent. But on the other hand, when she, you know, talked to other sisters, they're telling her, honey, you need to leave him. And I'm telling her, I said, if you leave him, you won't have a place to stay because at least he's paying the rent, you know. I said, you know, I said, we need to use common sense here and not listen to everybody as believers. We need to go to our brothers, to our sisters, and get some encouragement, you know. And we this is so real in this possession of resources and finances that we as believers need to help each other. The church shouldn't have to tell me if a sister is saying that her children don't have any shoes and I have money, then I can't buy this child a $10 pair of shoes. Why should a pastor have to say that to me? You know what I mean? So I think that we as sisters need to bond together, love each other. Don't talk about each other. Don't be envious of each other. Love the way God loved us. God never asked anybody, are you saved, before he did anything for them. He asked them, do you want to be made whole? What can I do for you? Amen. And so, you know, that's just in my spirit because a lot of our sisters are suffering and through no fault of their own. You know, you can't help it if you're in a wheelchair and then your husband gets tired of you and leave you and your children, you know. Mm-hmm. But we as sisters need to help them, walk through them, you know. Hallelujah. That's all I have to say. But I'm just receiving these phone calls, and, you know, and I find myself telling people, don't be doing that. Don't, no, 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 you know. And they're saying, well, you know, you're in a good position. You know what I mean? But they don't know what I'm going through, but they do know that I'm in, not in their position. But we still have to encourage them and love them and let them know that they're not by themselves. You know, when it's not about what they did or what he did and all that stuff. You want to help the sister. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that should be
thank you.
Love.
Thank you so much, Aunt Mary. And what I want to do is just take this time, just to transition, taking everything that you said, you know, when we have stuff, are we doing the right things with them? And that is a part of definitely of financial healing, because maybe somebody hasn't done the right thing and they're in the situation that they are in financially, and maybe it was at no fault of their own. But when you, as you were talking, one of the things that came to mind was rejecting. Rejecting any notion that you have to live on a financial battlefield, always scratching and scraping, trying to put together a win. Then looking at redefining who you are in Christ. You have to know who you are. You have to know that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. To be more than a conqueror, because if he believes we were designed by God to be more than survivors and to release the culture of this world and society by looking for God's way to provide a financial miracle when God may be offering you his healing. And so I want to just take the time, you know, to I want to turn it over to Pastor Carmichael. But just tying in everything that Aunt Mary said, and, you know, those are just the three things that I definitely was able to pull that really just fit like a glove. And then also just thinking about the mindset, can we reject, redefine, and release? And I just want to get your, just have you just give it to us, Pastor Carmichael. The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. You know, just listening to the mother there and hearing about some of the things that, you know, it sounds like she's getting a lot of pastoral calls. You know, when people are out here hurting, and we've been talking about healing and financial healing, and we've been talking about physical fitness and health, and it's been very good to hear all of these different things. But I just want to kind of ground it with this whole healing, aspect, and we've been talking a lot about healing in our church. And we're starting a new series next month in February. We do it every February, different sermons, but the theme is the same, and it's called Matters of the Heart. And it talks about how, you know, we talk about these different things, how healing the heart spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And many of these things come up financially and fitness-wise, when we are, they're all matters of the heart. You know, the way that we respond and we receive the word in the parables of the sower in Matthew 13. And I just wanted to throw this in, and you stop me if you need to direct me back. Are we on John 5 tonight? We're still on John 5 tonight, or are we? You know, is it okay if I
yes.
use Matthew 13 for a moment?
Yeah, we can, but we are on John 5, but we can definitely look at Matthew. No problem.
Okay, yeah, I'll get right to John 5. But Matthew 13 just talks about how, you know, the parable of the sower and how, you know, the seed that fell on good ground produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that good ground is basically a good heart, a heart that is able to receive the word, a heart that is able to receive correction, a heart that is able to understand, a heart that is able to receive instruction, and a heart that is able to serve in the kingdom. And when we have good seed put on good ground, which is good soil, a good heart, then we will be fruitful. The Bible talks about that. In John chapter 5, Jesus asked the question, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Not just healed, but do you want to be made whole? And the response was Jesus told him to pick up your bed and walk forward. And that is someone who has a heart that is willing to receive instruction, and therefore they will be fruitful. You know, it is my prayer that that as we continue to go forward throughout this year, and we talk about healing, and it is Well Living Church is absolutely a ministry of healing and restoration, that we would desire to get up and do. You know, I was listening the other day, and someone was talking about Bible study, and they were talking about going to Bible study and how they were going to go and get this information and this knowledge and understanding. And that's all well and good. Bible study is about that. But it's not just to show how much biblical knowledge you have. Bible study is really about us taking the word and being able to apply it to our life, and actually not just apply, but doing. And so I'm hoping that we can relate our healing to doing this year. What are we going to do to participate in our healing? What are we going to do to participate in those areas in our life where we need to be made whole? Which way are we going to walk, and how are we going to walk to participate in our healings? You know, I'm constantly telling people that within our church. God gives us the ability to participate in our healing through exercise, through healthy eating, and financial matters, through saving, being diligent, keeping a record of what we're spending, a daily record of what we're spending, a little log of each financial transaction, and looking back on that after 30 days. What are we going to do to participate in our healing? So that is just my hope. That is just my hope and my prayer for the listeners out there, and for those, for all of us, that we would begin to do. And, you know, I was having a conversation, my wife and I, we were having a conversation today as I was driving into the city. And, of course, I was on the Bluetooth, and we began to talk, and we began to talk about some different things. And I said, you know, let's just go from talking to doing. And she agrees. She was like, you know, that's right, we've been talking about this for a while. But what are we going to do? How are we going to make this happen? How are we going to participate in our healing? At some point in our lives, we have to start doing. We have to pick up our beds and begin to walk. We have to pick up our mat and begin to walk, and remove ourselves and get away from these conditions. And some of the things that we won't get up and do, we've been going through the same thing over and over and over again for years, analogous or akin to this 38 years of this man. But I just really believe that it's time for us to do something about it. You know, a lot of times I tell the members of our church, you know, you're waiting for God, but God is actually waiting on you, my brother. God is actually waiting on you, my sister. He's waiting on you to lift your hands in worship. He's waiting on you to come outside of yourself. He's waiting on you to actually pick up the word and read. He's ready for you to walk. He's ready for you to rise up I love it in John chapter 5. Jesus said to the man, rise, take up your bed, and walk. You know, it's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to do. It's time for us to not just be hearers of the word and hearers of all this great information we get on radio shows like this. But what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Do you understand what I'm saying, Adil? What are we going to do with that information?
Yeah, thank you. I was just writing down a couple of notes, and I like what you were saying about the matters of the heart, because that definitely right there, that ties into making a decision. And I was sharing with one of my soldiers just on last week about matters of the heart, and a lot of times those matters of the heart, it really is a decision, but because it's dealing with the heart, sometimes those decisions that we want to make, we don't make them as quick as we should make them. And I just really like the question when Jesus asked the man, do you want to be healed? To me, that was a matter of the heart.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
He should have said yes, but then he went on to go, to give Jesus this explanation about, you know, I've been here for all these years and this has happened to me, and, you know, I try to get to the pool, and people just, you know, they make it first. But Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And sometimes right. For people, where they are in their lives, matters of the heart will trump them receiving the healing at that very moment. But if we would take the time, like you said, sowing into good ground, taking those seeds, and sowing them into good ground. Well, what is that seed? That seed can be your mindset. And you got to take that mindset, that old mindset, and sow that thing somewhere and probably just leave it there. Don't let it come up unless it's coming up to produce a positive harvest that is going to help you in your decision-making later on in life. You know, you were talking about asking another question. What does one want to do to participate in your healing? You got to participate. So Jesus, you know, he asked the man, you know, do you want to be healed? But it took for him to participate in the healing. And, you know, I've always been so excited about the word, because when Jesus was healing people, he said, according to your faith. It was always
right.
Him having to participate in their healing. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to meet you where your level of faith is at. And those people were healed every single time. And they had to go from talking, giving people, you know, the sad, sob story where, you know, I've been like this for 20 years and, you know, I was trying to get help and I really don't want to be this way, but do you want to be healed and do you want to participate in your healing? And if the answer is yes, then let's do it.
Right.
If the answer is yes, then we can proceed forward. And a lot of times for people, because they've been in a situation, they've been financially wounded or financially sick for so long that when you ask them that question, their mind automatically goes to, let me go to my familiar story and give you the rundown of what happened to me, but you're offering them, hey, it's time. We're coming out of it. You're about to be healed today. All I need you to do is tell me yes. That's
right.
What I need you to do.
And you know, many people, like you said, they can't respond with yes, because you said a very, very key word. And for those that don't know, I'm a counselor, and I have a master's in counseling. And from one of the things that I can tell you is that many of the people that we experience, that we deal with in our houses of worship, churches, and you know, people are not responding yes because what you said, that wounding experience. You know, all of us, everyone on this earth, we have some type of wounding experience in our life, whether it occurred by someone who may have been molested at 5 or 12, whether someone experienced a traumatic event of a family dysfunction. There are those who have been experienced divorce within their families. You know, I'm one whose family broke up when I was 12 years old, and that was very traumatic because we went from living on one level to living on a completely different socioeconomical level. And it was traumatic for me in the sense my family broke up, and, you know, it was just very devastating. And that was a wounding experience for me at 12. And so we all have those experiences, and it's just, it has just been recently with a lot of healing. You know, I've been on Henry Nouwen, he wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, and it's difficult to take people in a place where you have not been. And so, I have been one who is on this healing journey, and God has brought me through in a powerful way. And so I've been able to help other people get over their wounding experiences. And if we relate it to obesity and overeating, that's why the church is full of obese people, because of those wounding experiences. And although we have great worship and great praise and great preaching throughout all of our churches, throughout the nation and the world, people still, once that praise experience, that worship experience, and that deliverance experience ceases for those few hours of church, people are left to their own devices to deal with those wounding experiences. You know, my grandmother was one, I'm so many different parts of let me only use the word religion, but you know, I have a Pentecostal background, Baptist heritage, Protestant, I've been in different religious circles. I'm just using that word religious loosely, but I've been in a lot of different. And one thing I remember is how the old church mothers, they would have you tarry at the altar. But what they were trying to do, was bring healing and through deliverance. And although there have been some who have experienced deliverance immediately, I've seen people delivered from all types of dysfunctional behavior immediately. But what I find and what I'm starting to learn and study and incorporate in my ministry is that people who may have had some of those deliverance moments or experiences, they picked up another dysfunctional behavior. So let's say somebody was healed or delivered from cigarettes, and I'm just using that. Maybe they didn't smoke cigarettes anymore, but now they were overeating. You know, let's say somebody was delivered from drugs or alcohol. They didn't participate. Now they were eating cake. They were eating whole cakes on Sunday. You understand? Okay. And that's a dysfunctional behavior. Religiosity, being super religious, is a dysfunctional behavior where, you know. So what I find is that when your heart has been wounded that way, a lot of the things that we do and that we see are matters of the heart. You know, when you have a preacher or a pastor that decides to, do something foul to their congregation or whatever, that's a matter of the heart. When you have people who are church hopping. You know, they've been in five different churches in 2 years. You know, that's a matter of the heart. You know, when you have people who decide they don't want to pay their tithes and offering, everybody knows that's like Christianity 101, that you give to your church. That's basic. And when you have people who decide that they don't want to do that, they play those type of games, that's a matter of the heart. And so, you know, all of this, you know, when we talk about healing, you know, people overspending, that's a dysfunctional behavior. How are you going to spend more than you make? That's a matter of the heart, and that's dysfunctional behavior. And so until we look at the heart of the matter, matters of the heart, and the reason why we do it every year, we talk about matters of the heart in February, is for the listeners and people to know. So, and you'll get, you know, you can download our sermon. I'll send a link so you can hear these series, Matters of the Heart. The reason why we do it in February every year is not because of Valentine's Day, but because it is Heart Month for the American Heart. And I'm a spokesperson for the American Heart Association, and it's Heart Month. And so we do a lot of screenings and different things at our church for Heart Month. And you know, what I find is just that healing has to spring forth in a very powerful way. You know, it has to be, you know, it has to spring forth, and it's a matter of the heart. Healing is just, you know, to make sound or to make whole. And you know, that's healing, to make sound and to make whole. And Jesus said that he's a healer, you know. I just believe in God's healing, but I also believe in participating, and God allows us to participate in our healing. And that is so important.
And I would like to add to that that one of the things, some of the things that I tell the ladies, a way of participation, you know, I ask them, are you reading your word, you know? And one told me, she said, well, I don't have a Bible, you know. I said, well, you can go to the dollar store and get one for a dollar. I said, because God wants to see what you're going to do.
Amen.
I said, you need that word to strengthen you. That word will strengthen you. I said, God will speak to you through the word, you know. And I said, then praying for others, you know. And I said, and then going to church. I said, these are basic things. I said, and as believers, God had expectations of us no matter what situation we're in. And I said, and I told them, I said, you're not going to be able to do this without it. And their first ladies are telling them the same thing. You know, don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. You know, you must come to church. And I said, listen to those. I said, because they have been there and done that, and they know what works. Amen.
Definitely. Definitely. So I just want to let everybody know how you can reach us. We're on Blog Talk Radio, PRF Table, every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And this month we are talking about Receive Your Financial Healing. And we have guest speaker, Pastor Khalil Carmichael, who is not just a pastor, but he is also a CEO, an entrepreneur, an author. He is a pastor of Church It Is Well Living in New Township, New Jersey. And he has been such a blessing to us, and we really thank him just for everything that he has said. Definitely some great points is that God allows us to participate in our healing. And I know with Pastor Carmichael being a CEO of the Fitness Doctor Incorporated, having experience in physical fitness for over 10 years in his company, that he definitely, you know, has the expertise to understand the natural and the spiritual placement of healing God's way. And so I just think it's important, you know, that we take the time to not just be healed in a natural sense, not just, you know, have our possessions, our homes, our cars, our clothes, our bank accounts, our resources, and our finances healed, but also for us to be healed, because he brought up some very good points. We were saying, you know, people have gone through some traumatic experiences. And until you have gone through that and come out of it in a way that has educated you, that has strengthened you both spiritually and naturally, it is very difficult to share that with someone else. It is very difficult to walk somebody through their own healing. It is very difficult to even get somebody to the point of them accepting in receiving the financial healing that they need. And so if you know, because he was talking about people being delivered, but then they pick up another habit. And so God has delivered them, God has brought them out, but now there is something else. And so we want to have healing, a full recovery.
as they would say, you know, when you're going through surgery, we pray for people to have a total recovery. So if it's a leg pain or if you broke your arm or something, you want to have full healing in that area because you want to have the full functionality of that arm. If you had a cold, you don't want to walk around. Healing is, if your nose is still stuffy, there's still something going on, you know. And so we want to have total healing, but you have to be able to receive it. And I just think it's important, you know, that when we look at the healing process, that we have a plan and that we are allowing God and those people that he has placed into our path to guide us. But we have to be willing to accept it. And as long as people can continue to walk and allow matters of the heart to sway or deter them from making a decision, again, it is so hard to receive in gratitude what God has done. And I liked what Pastor Carmichael, you know, he was talking about the healing. And that's just one area, you know, that we definitely can look at in the next couple of minutes. What is healing? Healing is to restore to health or soundness, to cure, heal the sick patient, to ease or relieve from emotional distress. Only time can heal her grief. When something traumatic has happened, maybe losing a loved one, or maybe somebody had to have a limb amputated, that's emotional distress that is being placed on that person, and only time can heal them. To set right, to repair, heal the rift between us, to recover from an illness, to return to health. And so when we look at healing, the natural process by which the body repairs itself, what does that natural process and that spiritual process look for you to have your finances healed? What does that look like for you? And as you consider your possessions and your resources and finances, here are a couple of questions that you can ask yourself for possession. Does what you have make you feel better than someone who doesn't have what you have? These are some things to consider. Did you get what you have by being dishonest or ungodly gain? Aunt Mary talked about that. Here you got in your possession a food stamp card, EBT, and you're being dishonest with it. For your resources, I'm the boss. I got this. I do. I'm over this department. I'm the pastor. Everyone needs to come to me. For finances, you feel rich because you make $50,000 per year when the median salary in your area is $24,000. Your credit is so good now, but you can't help anyone else with their credit. So at the end of the day, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the world and to lose his soul? What does it profit us to have these things, but we can't help anybody with the possessions that we have? What does it profit to have resources, but the first thing coming out of our mouth is, I'm over this? Last time I checked, God was the one that called us. What about with your finances? What are you doing to help somebody? Are you sowing a seed into someone's life, into an organization's life? And again, some of these things for people, when you look at your PRF portfolio, can very well be matters of the heart. And if holding on and having your possessions, resources, and finances are matters of the heart for you, it could be that your financial healing is being hindered because of those things that you are holding on to that God never intended for you to hold on to. He gave them to you to be a blessing. To be a blessing to you and your family, and to be a blessing to those that are around you in your community, even people that you may not know. Pastor Carmichael, I do have one question for you, and I was just wondering if you would just educate us. You were talking about traumatic experiences, and I like analogies because what they do is allow us to look at something very simple, like a parable that Jesus used to give parables, and to get a better understanding. So what I wanted to ask if you would elaborate in the next couple of minutes that we have left is, when someone has a surgery in the natural and they're going through the healing process, as a physical fitness trainer and also a counselor, what type of plan or guidance would you give them in order to be on the road to recovery and healing, to receive the healing that they need naturally, so we can kind of translate that over and see how it parallels with receiving financial healing?
If someone had
I'm sorry, I did not unmute you. Can you go ahead and back up a little bit?
Okay, sure. I just
want
to make sure that I'm clear. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, great. I just wanted to just be clear and make sure I understand the question. You're asking me about the healing for someone who may have had surgery?
Yes. So, you know, you were talking about, like, going through a traumatic experience. And so just to kind of show people, like, what in the natural that healing process would look like with the physical fitness expertise that you have, what kind of plan or guidance would you give somebody who has had surgery and now they're on the road to healing and recovery as it relates
to
receiving financial healing?
Right. Okay, great. You know, there are many traumatic things that people can experience, but just to say as it pertains to health and fitness, sometimes you have people who have experienced different things and they use food to soothe or to comfort themselves or to self-soothing as a self-soothing mechanism. And so one of the things that I would do if I was working with someone like that who was on the road to recovery, they had been to they had received let's say there are some people who have had the surgery, a gastric bypass surgery, let's just use that for an example, or a lap band surgery, where part of the stomach or has been cut, so to limit the food that can be held to kind of reduce the size of the stomach. And so what I find when people are recovering from that type of surgery, they're no longer able to overeat, but the dysfunctional behavior is still there. So they have to. The first thing they have to do is go through the process of healing and participate in their healing and learn how to eat in smaller portions. That's the first thing. They have to learn how to get comfort in other ways, and I don't mean other dysfunctional ways. A lot of times people who have those gastric bypass surgeries and lap band surgeries, if they're not exercising or haven't picked up exercise as a form of comforting themselves and working with the program that they're on, a lot of them become sex addicts because that's another way of self-soothing. And so there are so many different ways, but the first thing that I would do is try to get someone to watch their portions, and that goes across the board for all of us. You know, we are coming to the end of our 21-day fast. We started our fast on January 4th, and we are coming to the end on January 24th, this Sunday. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And so, but one of the things during the fast is that we have learned how to monitor our portions. The second thing that I would do as it relates to an exercise program is get the person moving, doing what I call functional exercises. These are exercises without weights, but they are specific to the individual to help them start moving, to help them, you know, try to get some kind of strength using plyometrics, using their body weight, using things like that to kind of get them moving. I don't mean hardcore or high-impact exercises like push-ups and things like that, but maybe some modified movements, some modified push-up movements and different things like that just to get them moving. And then as they progress, Then we would start adding weights and longer walking distance at a sharper pace or a more increased pace. But it definitely has to begin with just kind of watching that portion control. You know, there are so many traumatic events that occur, and the road to healing is, you know, that overeating is also similar or analogous to people who overspend. It's kind of the same soothing type, self-soothing mechanism that people have adapted to deal with whatever trauma triggers that pain and causes them to want to overeat or overspend. Those two mechanisms are kind of, those triggers are the same. So if someone was, you know, if someone was had a traumatic experience, some individual may go to McDonald's and order two Big Macs and two sodas and two fries and kind of soothe themselves, while the other individual is triggered from their traumatic experience. They will go to Marshall's or a Target or and just buy things that they don't really need. Or Walmart. Walmart is a culprit for that. You know, you can see so many people. If you really become aware and ask God to open up the eyes of your understanding. Paul said, God, open the eyes of their understanding. Lord have mercy. What he was saying is make them aware of their surroundings and what they're doing. If you go to Walmart and you really take a look around, you'll see people buying stuff that they don't need. They went in to buy a bar of soap and some lotion. They come out with shampoo and rug carpet cleaner and all types of things, and new videos and all types of stuff. And it is just, you know, it's just something that we do. So that, you know, I kind of digress a little bit. I hope I answered the question a little bit. But this is such an amazing topic, and I just pray that what I share was helpful, because what you share was helpful to me.
Amen. No, it was, because I will tell you, to receive financial healing, just what I got from what you said was eating in smaller portions. You know, maybe the financial healing is not something, it's like the elephant, not trying to eat the entire elephant, but just doing things one step at a time. So you know you have
right.
10 steps. Don't go to step 10 before you accomplish step 1. So that's eating
right.
a smaller portion. Learn other positive comforts. So if you know that this was, you know, buying lotto tickets is what God delivered you from, you know, well, maybe at this point in time you can't buy a raffle ticket, but you can definitely
right.
find something else. So maybe you can take the money that you would have spent in raffle tickets or lottery tickets, and you can donate that to an organization. Taking
right.
the same money for what it used to be used for, and now you've redirected it. And then having a
right.
customized plan that's going to strengthen you. And that those are the three things that I heard you say, you know. I really like number 3, though, having a customized plan. So we begin to do things in smaller steps, and I think that is so important. And just understanding where we are as individuals, not comparing ourselves to other people, but understanding where we are. And when the question is asked, do you want to be healed, being able to say yes and having that the mind shift, doing pretty much a shifting of the mind so that when a question is asked, you don't always revert back to what's familiar, to that familiar story,
right.
But you
right.
can receive the healing. So definitely some, I mean, good point that can be applied. These are applicable, you know, points that can be applied. And you also don't want to just hear these things, as the Word of God tells you. Don't just be a hearer of the Word, but we do the Word of God. You know, somebody takes mm-hmm. the time to put together a fitness plan for us. We don't just look at the fitness plan, but we do the fitness plan. And that is that participating in the healing. That is that participating in the strengthening. That is that participation in the plan that has been customized for the individual to get what it is that they need. And I think that is what is so relevant and is needed in our
society today, in our churches, in our schools, in our homes. And it has to make start with the individual receiving the healing that they need so that they can begin to impact the world and leave an inheritance and a legacy behind that other people can emulate and duplicate themselves, so that other people can pick up as God begins to elevate them and accelerate them to new places and new levels in Him, both naturally and spiritually.
Right. I agree. You know, I really agree with that. And I'm excited about the healing that will spring forth from all of this. I pray that God's healing will spring forth on His people.
I know we do have a caller, and I do want to apologize. I cannot tell if you have a comment or a question or anything that you just want to chime in, but I'm going to open up the floor for you. And this is caller number ending in 4997. If you have anything, please just go ahead and jump in. Caller ending in 4997. All right. Well, Mary, do you have anything that you'd like to share with us? We're going to get ready to wrap it up on tonight.
To the Creator in any of our situations, He says, "It's not acknowledgement all your ways." So whatever the situation we are going through, and, you know, in the PRF category, don't forget to put God in the equation. And above all, be honest, because God loves, you know, we want to have integrity and character, and that's an expectation that God, you know, that's a standard, you know. I mean, that's a way of getting financial healing. Because if the foundation is not built, if the foundation is built on, you know, on falsehood, it's not going to stand. You know, it has to have a strong foundation. And so how you start a project out is the way it's not going to end. If you started out dishonest, it's going to be dishonest, and then it's going to bring destruction to our lives.
Amen. Do you have anything else for us, Pastor Carmichael?
You know, I just want to say blessings to everyone, and I just pray that God's healing will spring forth in your life and that you would allow God to work in your life in a mighty way.
Amen. And before we close on tonight, I just want to leave a couple of things that I think are just so important, is to understand that we all participate in the healing with God. We play an active role, and that healing has to spring forth, and we definitely need to accept the healing, because it's going to make us sound, and it's going to make us whole. And when you accept the healing, understand that there are some things that you're going to have to do that were not the norm for you. They're going to feel uncomfortable. But you got to take it in smaller steps. Take it step by step. Don't try to eat the whole elephant. Eat it one chunk at a time. Redirect the actions or behavior that you were doing before. Redirect them. Find another positive comfort that's going to be rewarding and bring joy to you. And have a customized plan that's going to strengthen you. And as we continue to talk about financial healing, we want to reject the notion that we have to live on a financial battlefield, that we're going to redefine who we are in Christ. Knowing who you are in Christ is so freeing and liberating, and release, you know, the system that the world has. God has a plan for us and a direction for us to go. And He said, "This is for peace and out of evil." Because we have an expected end in God. And as you receive your financial healing, don't be scared, because God is with you. He is right there every step of the way. And with every possession, resource, and finance that you have, take it in gratitude to know that God is giving you what you needed, even though you may not, it may not be what you want. We thank you so much for listening to us and joining us at the table. Please know that you can check us out on Facebook at PRF Ministry and also on our website, prfministry.org. We thank you for listening to us on tonight. We pray that you receive your financial healing and that you will come back and meet us at the table on next Thursday, January 28th, 8 p.m. Central Eastern Standard Time and 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Thank you and have a blessed night.
God bless you.
God bless you, everyone.